The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. Broadcasting from our secret underground studio in Olympia, Washington, it is time for The Thunderbolts. You are listening to The Thunderbolt on Free Radio Olympia, 91.9 FM, where we are proud to announce that we will be airing the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth every single week. If you want to know what's really going on, as opposed to what the Wall Street media machine wants you to think is going on, then you're in the right place. You are listening to The Thunderbolt on Free Radio Olympia, 91.9 FM in Olympia, Washington. This is the voice of the revolution. Listen at your own risk. Well, hey there. Welcome to the Thunderbolt for July 5th, 2019. I am proud to announce that the news and commentary section for this week's show is being brought to you by the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews. And so the Thunderbolt will return to you in just a moment. But first, a word from our sponsor. Well, hey, humanity! This is the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews. So tell me, humanity, are you tired of that nasty old machine destroying all life on your planet? Yeah, sure. You really would like to do something about that. But geez, some of those people you've got to work with. For instance, there are assholes and old sexist white guys, as well as passive-aggressive power manipulators with dark, hidden agendas. And I hear they even let right-wingers and homophobes try to save the world these days. And thus the left spends all their time fighting with each other rather than fighting the baby killers. Oh well, huh? I guess we might as well just go vote for Democrats and hope for the best. But wait, what would you say, humanity, if I told you that there is a solution? Yes, humanity. What would you say if I told you that there is a tried and tested method for getting along with other people? Well, I am here to tell you that very thing. For this miracle product is called the concept of accepting a diversity of world views. It's easy. You just need to loosen up a little, open your mind a little, and pull that stick out of your ass. The concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews can be delivered directly to your home, free of charge, and with no obligation. If you choose to keep the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews, it is absolutely free. In addition, we offer a 100% no questions asked money back guarantee, and we offer on-premises financing at 0% APR. So you have no excuse. Take the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews for a test drive today.
Warning, possible side effects can include saving your planet. The concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews is available everywhere that you find humanity. The concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews is fully responsible for the content of this channel.
So I was archiving some old newsletters the other day when I came across an old article about a lengthy email from an anonymous source who provided me with a gratuitous psychological assessment of my personal character. And it was very interesting in a twisty sort of way. In addition to the personal implications contained within this communication, it also touched upon many much larger issues. Because the fact is that a lot of our internecine problems are caused largely by misunderstandings that result from diverse worldviews. And yes, that statement was slyly planted in this week's Thunderbolt by this week's sponsor, the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews as part of a deep, dark plot to prime your mind for the grand finale sales pitch that will be coming later in this week's show. One thing that makes implementing the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews much easier is learning to understand where other people are coming from. And that is why I really think the personal is the political, and why I don't really think that you can separate them. We need to become the world we want to create. And the more we know about each other, and the more understanding there is between us, then the easier that is to do. Therefore, this week I plan to boldly go where most of you have most certainly never gone before. Because I think maybe I can help you understand viewpoints that may be alien to your worldview. For understanding a diversity of worldviews is a vital component to implementing the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews. And thus, you stand duly warned. And so, concerning my gratuitous anonymous psychological analysis, I should probably be honored that someone spent so much time and thought on me, since he brought up a lot of interesting and relevant stuff, and since most of that stuff can be tied into the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews, then when it comes to amateur psychological analysis, I am most happy to return the favor. In addition, I also considered my psychoanalyst's message to be an invitation to engage in a duel of witty repartee. And as you are about to learn, my opponent in this contest, most highly intelligent and highly knowledgeable about many things, yet displays little wisdom and even less humor. And when it comes to wisdom over knowledge, I'll take wisdom any day. And as to humor, I have personally found that when it comes to dealing with the world, you can either laugh about it or you can cry about it. And in my experience, laughing both feels a lot better than crying. And in addition, it will make you much more popular at parties. So some of the points I am about to make will seem like personal gotchas. And while they may seem like that, because that is exactly what they are, I ask you to bear with me through, because even most of the gotchas that I have included all build into a crescendo that all ties into the central theme of the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews in the end. So please be patient. And I would also like to think that I am able to keep you entertained as we get there. But jokes aside, just for a second, don't worry. I am going to do a lot of paraphrasing due to the original correspondence's length and due to its unknown provenance and due to the fact that I really don't like the person who sent it very much and due to the fact that he sent his observations anonymously and due to the fact that he tended to use lots of excess verbiage and due to the fact that my translations are not only shorter than his original rantings are, but they are also much funnier. I believe my summaries convey the spirit, if not the endless details, of the original correspondence. But if anyone really wants to wade through the original and check on the accuracy of my characterization, then I will be happy to forward the links to it upon request. Okay. The serious second is over now. Watch out for jokes. The gentleman started by saying that he didn't really know me and he'd only met me briefly a couple of times, but that I made him uncomfortable, he didn't like me, he didn't trust me, and he questioned my character and my credibility. Evidently basing all of these rather serious charges and allegations upon two brief meetings and upon my writing in my newsletter. Then, in spite of having just acknowledged not knowing me, he launched into a fairly lengthy and detailed psychoanalysis, using words such as dualistic neurosis, to explain to me in exquisite detail exactly why I am such a piece of shite white male sexist pig. In addition, my anonymous critic also informed me that I had no personal character and that I had dark, dangerous, hidden agendas. So hidden that they are hidden even from myself, and that he was now revealing me to myself as a public service so that I may emerge from my old white guy sexist darkness and joyously emerge into the light as a truly enlightened human being. Though he did not really expect that to happen, because us old white guy sexist pigs are so firmly set in our ways, and so on and so forth ad infinitum, etc. Dana is actually pretty aware of his many psychological quirks, including his habit of referring to himself in the third person, and he at least likes to think that he deals with them rather adeptly. Well, I must admit that my anonymous therapist hit a couple of slightly uncomfortable nails right on the head. By the end of his screed, I was thinking that maybe he had stumbled even upon those purely by accident, because so many of his other observations were so off the mark, I began to suspect, at the risk of engaging in amateur psychoanalysis of someone that I do not know, that rather than criticizing me, the anonymous gentleman was instead analyzing himself and then projecting his observations onto me. First, he offended me by challenging my personal honor. Concerning my personal honor, I spent 6 years in prison rather than sell my friends to the feds. And one of many reasons I did that was because my honor is what makes me who I am, and without my honor, I am nothing. So I spent 6 years in hell to earn my badge of honor, and now you are questioning that? And exactly who are you? You refuse to say. You send me your email anonymously through a third party because you say, quote, "It is clear anything but anonymous feedback brings a cruel public slandering via your newsletter. So I remain anonymous to prevent such." Unquote. Well, as for me, I put my name to nearly everything I write. I stand behind everything I say. And in the few instances where I've been proven wrong, I acknowledge such publicly, as I have done many times in the past. You, on the other hand, challenge my honor and my credibility from behind a veil of anonymity. And as far as sending your message anonymously because you fear my slandering of you in my newsletter, how about we do this and I'll grant you a little validation? If you consider me calling you a coward to be slander, then I hereby officially slander you because you send your words anonymously. Oh, how I love irony. And by the way, I normally do not reveal the names of people who ask me not to reveal them anyway. While I regularly blast the machine and its evil minions without mercy, who have I ever slandered in this newsletter? I don't remember ever slandering anyone. Do you consider policy disagreements to be slander? And for the record, from here on out, I will be, quote, criticizing you, unquote, as opposed to slandering you, even if I must do it anonymously. And as for my unsolicited therapist's deep psychiatric insights, one of many he alleged is that I like to move and shake for its own sake. And therefore, I cannot be trusted since I fight for the sake of my own ego rather than for the cause. Well, as far as that goes, first of all, does anyone really know anyone that does not have an ego? If so, I would imagine they resemble a lump of flesh that occasionally eats something. They probably would also sleep, but it would be difficult to differentiate sleep from their normal daily activity. Having an ego is not the problem. The problems come with their size and with their health. They can be too big, or they can be too small, or they can be just right. They can unleash holocausts, and they can write frigging Beethoven's frigging ninth frigging symphony when the frigging owner of that frigging ego was stone frigging deaf. As with so many other human characteristics, ego can be a force for good or a force for not so good. The primary reason that I move and shake is so that my granddaughter will have a planet that is worth living on. Other than that, though, I do indeed absolutely love moving and shaking for its own sake, because it's a blast, and because I'm good at it. And if you are going to feed your ego and pride yourself on being good at something, then I think being good at saving my granddaughter's planet is a rather benign form of that particular psychological derangement. I don't expect to be seeking therapy anytime soon. Then, the guy pissed me off. It seems that my story about Julie dancing with the flowers, i.e. Riders on the Storm, revealed to my anonymous critics, deep-seeing psychological perceptions, the fact that I actually have a dark, hidden, penis-wagging power manipulation agenda going on here, and that I ill-used Julie with ill intent and for ill purpose by writing Riders on the Storm in order to advance my dark agenda. Really? You got all of that from Riders on the Storm? Who'd have thunk? Well, here is my own, quite different opinion of Riders on the Storm, which opinion I think relevant because I was there when I wrote it. Now, uh-oh. Ego alert. Yes, my own opinion is that Riders on the Storm is one of the most beautiful pieces of literary artistry that I have ever managed to summon in a very long career of writing lots and lots of things. And in all of those years of writing all of that stuff, I now consider Riders on the Storm to be my second favorite creation to which I have ever given birth. While technically it was originally written for political purpose, Riders on the Storm was actually a pure art piece. And Rider on the Storm came straight from the most precious parts of my soul. Dead serious now, no joke. Fuck you. Uh-oh. Penis wagger alert.
Shut up, little man.
It is rather ironic.
You know how sick you are.
You accuse me.
Isn't that neat?
Of dark hidden agendas in writing Riders on the Storm, not only because it is probably one of the least dark things I've ever written, but also because in that particular case,
you said you would be quiet, then do it.
I actually stated very plainly before telling that particular story that I did indeed have a very specific agenda.
I don't stop when you
for telling that particular story at that particular time. And that I would reveal said agenda immediately after telling said story, which I did indeed subsequently do. Said agenda was to illustrate how a sexual relationship can produce profound magic.
Do not do that.
And I was presenting this in response to a bunch of flack I was receiving for speaking of sex in what many consider to be a sexist manner.
Think everything's fun, it's not.
Not much hidden there, sorry.
I am the human race, and I will not take it anymore.
I do believe that you are confusing the way my mind works with the way your mind works.
You're such a little fool.
I would suggest to listeners that rather than speculate upon my dark hidden agenda,
you want to stick me with that fork?
In writing a story like Riders on the Storm, you would serve yourself better by speculating upon what kind of person would be disturbed by a story like Riders on the Storm.
Shut up, little man.
What you describe as less than honorable was for me recalling one of my most magical memories. What I consider less than honorable is trying to force other people to view reality through your twisty lens rather than through their own. And we'll be back after a quick station break. The views expressed on the Thunderbolt are my views, and no one else's. Those views do not necessarily reflect the views of any of the stations that air the Thunderbolt, nor anybody that has anything to do with any of those stations. And now, back to the Thunderbolt. All right, welcome to the second half of The Concept of Accepting a Diversity of World Views. And when I look at how much material I still wish to cover, and when I look at how much time I have in which to cover it, then it is already obvious to me that the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews is going to require a third half, which I will be posting on July 19th, and which will air on Chaos and Fro on July 20th. Anyway, for this next segment, I wish to provide an alternative view upon the subject of sexism, and upon the critique that I am, myself, a sexist. Well, it turns out,
are you ready?
That my sesquipedalian friend held that my depictions of a boss and of Julie represented an example of me defining who is and who is not a woman. According to Mr. Anonymous Critic, what I was actually saying, was that if pretty naked girls dance for me in the flowers, then they are women. But that if they were harsh, and or a more masculine type of woman, then they were not really women. He stated that I was, quote, demeaning boss, unquote, by referring to her as a warrior woman. He said, quote, now, instead of calling the woman masculine and militaristic things to discredit them from being a woman, try redefining what it is to be a woman in your brain. Your rant only gave proof that you are a sexist. Yes, the klaxons on my well-tuned irony detectors were blaring red, and red lights were flashing before I even fully understood what he was trying to say. For actually, my anonymous critic was himself the one who was actually defining women and demeaning boss. Yes, Julie was a dainty, delicate female. Boss is a non-dainty, non-delicate female. Both of them are very much women. Yes, dude. I made up the moniker of Boss, and I call her a warrior woman out of respect for her womanhood, not to discredit it. I greatly admire Boss's attributes, both because that is so essentially who she is, and because those attributes are a large part of what makes Boss so effective as an activist. And as far as the world of effective activism is concerned, in fact, when it comes to Boss, then I am the acolyte sitting at the feet of the master. I thought I made all that clear in my depiction, but I guess it wasn't clear to you, since you considered my pan to be demeaning to Boss. Are you saying that rather than celebrating Boss's attributes, as I did, that I should have instead ignored or tried to gloss over such an essential aspect of Boss's character as if it is somehow wrong or embarrassing? To my way of thinking, that is demeaning to Boss, both as a human in general and as a woman in particular. Boss is what Boss is. And I think that what Boss is pretty freaking awesome. If you read that story as demeaning to Boss in any manner, then yes, I would say that of the two of us, me and you, one of us is definitely messed up here. However, your especial wrath was saved for near the end of your critique. I will now quote you. Also, possibly most offensive of all the offensive statements you made in your defense, men who love men do so for the same reasons men love women. And women love women, and women love men. One can make sense of a man loving a man sexually without insisting that their brains are different. Unquote. Really? That was possibly the most offensive thing you found? Dude, I could be a lot more offensive than that, believe me. That's almost insulting. For listeners who may have missed that, I was pushing my women are superior to men shtick, and I mentioned in passing the recently discovered fact that gay men exhibit many of the same differences in brain function and brain physiology as women do. And therefore, that according to my theory, that means that gay men are possibly also superior to other men. I think part of the problem here is that I'm not even really clear about what he found offensive. Was his problem with the fact itself, or with my mentioning of the fact. It also really isn't all that clear how my mentioning a fact about the differences in the sexes in a conversation about differences in the sexes relates to my being a sexist either. But whatever. Anyway, it's time to tie all of this psychological stuff into the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews. And as for this latest contribution to the Dana is a sexist bandwagon, well, duh. Does anyone really know anyone who isn't? A lot of people don't seem to get it, that all kinds of sexual type stuff is hardwired into your base brain while you're still a little kid. And by the time you're in your 60s like me, a lot of it is pretty much set in concrete. Evidently, most gay people know that they are gay before puberty. I clearly remember always preferring the company of women and girls to that of men and boys before I even knew that sex existed. And you kids these days may have trouble believing this, but during this quaint period of American history wherein I spent my happy childhood, they were mostly successful at keeping the very existence of sex itself a complete secret from preteen children. Check out an old 60s sitcom called Leave It to Beaver sometime. I lived that sitcom. That is where I grew up. I was the Beaver. Probably quite different than the world you grew up in, eh? And growing up in a different world is likely to give you a different world view, right? So do you want alternate world views? Do you want some truly dark psychological insights? While I cite scientific discoveries that back up my women are superior theories, this is indeed one area in which I also have a psychological stake, because I'll tell you what, kids, I feel that the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews is so important that for your enlightenment, I am willing to slake your curious, dark psychological curiosities and provide some really choice fodder for all of you armchair psychologists out there. Yes, kids, I'm gonna rip it all off and expose myself to you for the cause. And no, I didn't mean it that way. You're the one with the dirty mind here. But seriously, I implore you now to sacrifice for the noble cause of promoting the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews. For you see, in order to understand this particular worldview, you must first embark upon a dangerous journey of exploration deep into the dark, twisted mystery of Dana's disturbed old white guy sexist mind. Be strong, kids. You can handle it. It's for the cause. However, as I warned you at the beginning of this segment, I don't have enough time this week to cover all of that. Therefore, if you wish to embark upon this dark and dangerous path into my mind, you will need to tune in again 2 weeks from today. How's that for a cliffhanger? For now, though, it's time to get to work. And thus ends part one of The Thunderbolt, Why You Should Be Upset. Next comes part two, What Can Be Done About It? Across Cascadia, the masses are arising in response to
the Olympia Action Alert
for the week of July 6th through July 12th, 2019. Ah, yes, time to get out your pen and paper, or your device, or your photographic memory, or whatever you use to remember information. It's time for the calendar. Our first event is today. In fact, it's happening right now if you're listening to Free Radio Olympia. This is Florecer Aqui e Allá, the International Action and Solidarity Day. This will be from 12:30 to 2:30 p.m. at the Northwest Detention Center. And that's at 1623 East J Street in Tacoma. And for you GPSers, the zip code there is 98421. And this event was organized by La Resistencia. People will be joining us on July 6th for an art auction at the Northwest Detention Center, Tacoma. The Solidarity Day will be coordinated with part of the International Action Florecer Aqui e Allá, organized by deportees, returnees, and others affected by immigration in Mexico City. We will join them to call for an end to detention and deportation in Tacoma and beyond, and to call for better conditions, including free mobility, living wages, education and opportunity, identity document access, united families, and diverse communities for all. At the event, we will be connecting via video with simultaneous actions in Mexico City, New York, Guatemala, and so forth. People will be bringing a seed, a grain, or a flower that is native to the Pacific Northwest to use at the event, which will use to symbolize nourishment, mobility, and ability to grow and flourish in different places. We'll have extras on hand, too. And I have a website here, florceraquiaya.mx. That's florceraquiaya. YALLA.MX, as in Mexico. So again, this is Florecer Aqui e Allá, International Action and Solidarity Day, Saturday, July 6th, from 12:30 to 2:30 p.m. at the Northwest Detention Center, 1623 East J Street in Tacoma, 98421. Next, on Sunday, July 7th, it's the Ole Assembly Reading Group. This month's reading is Social Ecology. This will be from 2 to 4 p.m. at 115 Legion Way. This event was organized by the Olympia Assembly. Our suggested reading this month will be Social Ecology, written and illustrated by Emily McGuire. This illustrated pamphlet is a fun and accessible introduction to social ecology
a theory developed by Murray Bookchin as an appeal for social reconstruction along ecological linings. Join us for a reading and a discussion of social ecology, whether you've done the reading or not. The reading group texts do not necessarily represent Olympia Assembly. We read them for critical engagement and discussion. So again, this is the Ole Assembly Reading Group, Social Ecology, Sunday, July 7th from 2 to 4 p.m. at 115 Legion Way. Next on the list here, we have the Nisqually Aquatic Reserve Citizen Stewardship Meeting. This will be from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at 4601 D. Miller Drive, Northeast. That's the letter D. Then we have M-I-L-L-U-H-R. 4601 D. Miller Drive, Northeast. And this event was organized by the Nisqually Aquatic Reserve. And this is their message. This is a monthly meeting for those who want to connect and share the many values found in the South Sound. Please send us a message if you can make it, as we serve food at every meeting. You can contact us via Facebook, or you can send an email to nrnc@nisqualiestuary.org. Again, that's nrnc@nisqualiestuary.org. This is for the Nisqually Aquatic Reserve Citizen Stewardship Meeting, Monday, July 8th, 6 to 7:30 p.m. at 4601 D. Milhoor Drive, Northeast. Next, we have the Jacobin Reading Group. This will be Wednesday, July 10th, from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at Orca Books, 509 4th Avenue East. And this event was organized by the Olympia Democratic Socialists of America. This is their message. Ole DSA hosts a Jacobin reading group that meets on the second Wednesday of every month at 6 p.m. at Orca Books, 509 East 4th Avenue. We generally discuss three or four short articles of interest to socialists, published primarily, though not exclusively, in Jacobin. Contact us at Jacobin@OleDSA.com for more information. This is for the Jacobin Reading Group, Wednesday, July 10th, from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at Orca Books, 509 4th Avenue East. Also on Wednesday, July 10th, we have Our Revolution Second Candidate Forum. This will be from 7 to 9 p.m. at 906 Columbia Street Southwest. And this event was organized by Florence Vincent. We've moved the venue for our second candidate forum. We will have a bigger room for our Port Commissioner Forum. We will also have candidates for the Olympia, Tumwater, Lacey, and Yelm City Councils, and candidates for CD10. So again, this is Our Revolution Second Candidate Forum, Wednesday, July 10th, from 7 to 9 p.m. at 906 Columbia Street Southwest. Next, on Friday, July 12th, it's the 712 Shutdown ICE Profiteers Event, Protest at Bank of America. This will be from noon to 3 p.m. at the Bank of America, 210 5th Avenue Southwest. This event was organized by the Olympia Assembly. While producing nightmares for migrants and refugees seeking safety, immigrant detention and deportation is a big business for corporations and financial institutions. Bank of America is the largest bank to provide significant funding to private prison corporations contracted by Immigration and Customs Enforcement. These corporations include CoreCivic, Geo Group, operator of the Northwest Detention Center in Tacoma, and Caliburn International, operation of the notorious Homestead Child Detention Facility in South Florida. It is time to follow the money and affect the bottom line of entities that profit from the criminalization of migrants. We will be taking collective and direct action from July 8th through July 12th to protest or shut down branch locations of Bank of America, SunTrust, and PNC Bank. So again, this is the 7/12 shutdown of ICE profiteers. Protest the Bank of America. Friday, July 12th, from noon to 3 p.m. at the Bank of America, 210 5th Avenue Southwest. Also on Friday, July 12th, we have Lights for Liberty Olympia. This will be from 7 to 9:30 p.m. at the Washington State Capitol, 416 Sid Snyder Avenue Southwest. Sid is spelled S-I-D. Snyder is spelled S-N-Y-D-E-R. And this event was organized by Tiffany Kruger. On Friday, July 12, 2019, Lights for Liberty, a vigil to end human detention camps, will bring thousands of Americans together to protest the inhumane conditions faced by refugees. The Olympia event will take place at the Washington State Capitol building on the Legislative Building steps. We are a coalition of people, many of whom are mothers, dedicated to human rights and the fundamental principle behind democracy, that all human beings have a right to life, liberty, and dignity. We are partnering with national, regional, and local communities and organizations who believe that these fundamental rights are not negotiable and they are willing to protect them. So again, this is Lights Out for Liberty, Olympia, Friday, July 12th. From 7 to 9:30 p.m. at the Washington State Capitol, 416 Sid Snyder Avenue, Southwest. And also on Friday, July 12th, we have the League of Women Voters Olympia Mayor Candidate Forum. This will be from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Olympia Center, 222 Columbia Street, Northwest. This event was organized by the League of Women Voters of Thurston County. They say people will be coming to meet the candidates and hear what they will do for Olympia. So again, this is the League of Women Voters Olympia Mayor Candidate Forum, Friday, July 12th, 7 to 9 p.m. at the Olympia Center, 222 Columbia Street, Northwest. And that's it for the calendar this week. And except for the bonus 6 minutes of music for Free Radio Olympia and Rainier Avenue Radio listeners, that's it for the Thunderbolt this week. Keep in mind that the views expressed on the Thunderbolt represent those of the show's producers and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, including their management, their donors, their underwriters, their staffers, their volunteers, nor any of their pets either. The Thunderbolt airs every Saturday at 1 a.m. on KAOS 89.3 FM in Olympia, every Saturday at noon on Free Radio Olympia, which is at 91.9 FM in Olympia when they're on the air. We play on Hollow Earth Radio, or KHUHLP 104.9 FM in Seattle, every Monday at 2 a.m., and we air every Monday at 11 a.m., and every Friday at 11 p.m. on RainierAvenueRadio.world. The Thunderbolt itself does not receive any funding from anyone other than occasional unsolicited donations from listeners and or readers. Though I do definitely encourage you to donate to the radio station that airs the Thunderbolt and any other public station that airs anything alternative to the mainstream media.
Thank you very much.
We'll see you next week.
Or